people think I'm damaged goods.
I'm worried about losing my job.
Will I ever get a transplant?
I want to see my children graduate from college.
How can I afford this?
I don't want to be a burden.
I'm afraid.
I'm overwhelmed with information.
Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever fall in love and get married.
I just want to play with my friends.
You're listening to Kidney Talk, streaming health, happiness, and hope to the renal community with your hosts, Lori Hartwell and Stephen First.
And welcome back to another Kidney Talk. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. I just got back from Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow, yes. What were you doing out there?
I was doing Dragon Con, which is a huge science fiction convention, and everybody was dressed up, different characters. It was great. 40,000 people. Not one person dressed up as a kidney, though.
Oh, my goodness.
I was the only one.
You were the only one. And did you draw a lot of attention from people?
I did.
Dressed up as a kidney?
I had a guy dressed up as a liver saying, "Hey, guy, how you doing?" Nobody was dressed up as organs.
Well, you know, I guess it's not really science fiction anymore because it's reality.
Yeah, it
Kidneys
is.
Kidneys are reality.
Absolutely. And I had a big breakthrough I wanted to tell you about.
Yes. What happened?
I was speaking in front of an audience of about 1,200 people.
Wow.
And they were there for a show I did called Babylon 5. It was a sci-fi convention. And I had no intentions of doing this at all, but in the middle of my speech, it came out, somebody said, "Oh, I heard you work for American Diabetes a lot and everything." And I actually told them that I had kidney disease and I was on a transplant list. And I could hear audible gasps in the audience.
Wow.
But it was a huge breakthrough for me.
And what did you feel after you said that?
Well, I felt kind of like a load was taken off because, mm-hmm. You know, people say, you know, how
you're
are you
doing?
You're
only as sick as your secrets.
Right, exactly. I had a lot of people come up to me and say, "Wow, you look great. You look so healthy." And I was thinking, wow, they only knew. And then when I told them, mm-hmm. And then I had people coming up and says, they would say things which really aren't, they're like kind of like left-handed compliments. Mm-hmm. They go, "You look really good for the situation you're in, like you're near death."
What does that mean? What does that mean exactly,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And you know, it's funny being an actor, which leads us into our guest, you know, this week. We're interviewing an actor. He's an on-camera actor, but he's mainly known for being a voice actor.
Oh, wow. I love voiceover actors. I mean, they're so talented.
Yes, they are. I mean, they're incredible because they have to do everything without their facial expressions.
Exactly. They have to be able to emote all the expressions that you're hearing.
But he went through the same thing that, you know, I went through a little bit is, do you tell people? People are not going to hire me.
Right.
Your self-image. He talks a lot about self-image and everything. So when we come back, we're going to hear his story and very interesting stuff. And we're going to get him to do a couple of voices that he's famous for.
I can't wait.
Boy. And let's say we'll be right back in your famous cartoon voice.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Honey, did you restrict your fluids today?
Yes, dear.
Did you turn your back on potatoes, bananas, and avocados?
I took a quick peek and then looked the other way.
Did you eat all your protein?
Lovely weather we're having, isn't it?
Honey, you know you need your protein because of the dialysis.
Having a hard time with the protein? Do you loathe liver? Are you baffled at the massive amounts of beef? Are you terrified of tofu? Then try drinking your protein, and I'm not talking about liver beef tofu smoothies. Protein powder that you can buy at your local store is perfect and delicious way to get that protein when you need it. Just make sure you read the label. Low sodium, low potassium, and low sugar. You know the drill, so next time someone asks,
"Did you eat all your protein today?"
You can say,
"Not only did I eat it, but I loved it. I had a breakfast shake, and then I put some in my coffee, and then I made some muffins with it, and then I..."
There are protein powders out there that have as much as 24 grams of protein in just one serving. No sugar and low in sodium and potassium. So drink up and be healthy.
The club with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean. That's entertainment.
Well, we're here with famous voice actor, and he's also on-camera actor, too. I want to let you know that. And you want to know something really interesting? What is that your new speech?
I'm switching from I from wow, wow.
Oh, okay. I like that, though. It's kind of like a Cuban thing. Like, I.
Exactly.
But you know what's interesting about this guy? I didn't realize he was a kidney patient, and he was in my, not last movie, but the movie before the last
one.
What
movie was that?
It was called Path of Destruction.
That's kind of like kidney disease, isn't it?
It's a path of destruction. But he played the voice of the President of the United States. Welcome, Bob Klein.
Yes, yay! We're so happy you're here.
Well, I'm very happy to be here as well. Thank you for having me.
I didn't know you were a kidney patient when we first met.
Well, you weren't supposed to know.
I know. You weren't telling anybody, were you?
You weren't telling anybody.
Well, you didn't tell me anything, so we're even.
But I wasn't a kidney patient at the time.
You didn't know you were.
No, I didn't know.
You were a kidney patient a-brewing.
You know, I actually did know, but I wasn't on dialysis, and I thought I would never be on dialysis. I could beat this thing, and, you know, nothing, you know, could put me on dialysis. So we're interested to know. I know you started as a teenager. Tell us a little bit about you and how you found out you had kidney disease and what you went through.
Well, first of all, I had lupus. I got that when I was 19.
And what exactly is lupus?
It's an autoimmune disease that attacks different parts of your body that it doesn't recognize as being a part of its own. So it sends out, I guess antibodies, because it sees these parts as an antigen.
It rejects parts of your body.
Exactly.
And fights it, right?
It attacks it like as if it were an invader.
So if you got a kidney, would it try to attack the kidney?
Yes, in many cases, that's exactly what happens. And
it
a lot of patients can't get a transplant or for some time, if ever, because they have this process going on.
And lupus can go in remission, though, correct?
Yes, it can. And the interesting thing is when people frequently get transplants, their whole lupus process goes away because of the medication you're on. It generally acts to suppress your immune system because you're in effect trying to keep that organ and not reject it.
So you're taking a lot of the medication that suppress the lupus along with suppress you fighting your kidney.
Exactly. Although I don't even know if they use those medications to treat lupus, but it does have that effect, and it's a good thing.
So you are not having any symptoms from lupus now?
No, I am not.
Oh, that's
great. What are the symptoms from lupus, and is it a hereditary disease?
Well, that's an interesting question because...
That's why I asked it.
Yes. You're so good that way.
He always asks all the interesting questions.
Well, as a matter of fact, there is some debate. I don't know if it's really a debate, but there does seem to be some familial aspect to lupus. In fact, I have a maternal aunt who had a skin version of the disease and a distant cousin who unfortunately succumbed to it. I never met her. I don't even know that side of the family, but that's what they tell me. But it's just one of those things that seems to come out of nowhere, just like diabetes, which is in effect an autoimmune disease too. Because your body is attacking your pancreas, and eventually it stops making insulin, and then you have the symptoms.
Wow.
A lot of diseases, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis. These are cousins.
They're all relative. All diseases are awful, and they all have something in common. They interrupt your life, don't they?
They certainly do, just to a grinding halt.
So you ended up going on dialysis?
Well, I was treated for lupus. Oh, it took 20 years to kill my kidneys, but then they noticed my blood pressure starting to go up. And that was the first sign of problems to come. And then red cells started to appear, in urinalysis when you go get a checkup. And then you're on the road to something not so wonderful. And then 20 years down the pike, I started to feel not very well. Mm-hmm. The lupus was really in the background by then and kind of quiescent. But
you're using too big a words for me.
It's a long way of saying quiet.
Oh, quiet. Quiescent. Oh,
okay.
Oh, I gotta remember that. It's like not a sandwich, but a croissant,
But anyway, the kidney disease took over, and I started being tested on a regular basis for kidney function, and it was going down, down, down.
Or creatinine up, up, up.
Up, 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 indeed. And I tried to be in sort of a state of denial, just like you. And
it's my favorite state other than Missouri.
Exactly. You like Missouri too?
Absolutely. One of my favorite states.
Wonderful. But anyway, I started to feel very unwell. And finally, the doctor said, hey, you're heading for dialysis, and you should really think about a transplant too. And eventually, I started looking for dialysis units and signing up for a transplant list and all those wonderful things that you have to do.
Yes.
And I remember my first tour to a dialysis unit, and I walked in there and saw these people sitting on those chairs, and they showed me some guy being put on, as they call it, and he had a Gore-Tex graft, which I found out at the time. And I was trying to be clinical, you know, with my father, who's a doctor, and we're walking around looking like, I feel like I'm doing some sort of a documentary on, you know, in my mind, looking, oh, that's very interesting. Oh, we'll see him getting put on. And they take the needle, the butterfly needle, which is about the size of your index finger, that's the way it looked to me then, and they put this thing on, it popped as they put it in, it made a little audible sound, and it just sort of, there went my clinical attitude, and I had to sort of sit down thinking that, oh, I'm going to have to do this too. And I eventually got on a list, and I was praying for dialysis to begin because my creatinine went through the roof. It was 20 at that point.
Wow.
Yeah,
20.
20. I know.
That is not a good thing.
The first doctor I went to interview to get on a list was, I won't even name the place, but she said, you should be throwing up right now. And I said, well, excuse me. I'm sorry. I can't really... make that possible for you, but I don't really feel like it, but I don't feel well. And I decided not to go there because she approached me with the glove finger before she even said hello, and that turned me off to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? For men, that's not a way to shake hands with the gloved finger.
No, you know? No. Yeah.
I don't think with anybody.
Exactly. Shake hands first, then you put the glove on and do what you got to do. But anyway, so I ended up at... Westchester Medical Center, and they were very delightful there, and I had a transplant, and I had rejection. I was in the hospital for 3 months. It was not fun. I got CMV, cytomegalovirus, which is
I had that.
What is that?
I feel
left out. I didn't have that yet.
Well, don't get it.
Oh, gosh.
Don't
what is it. That? Tell me what that is.
It was an opportunistic infection that AIDS patients actually get. When your immune system is suppressed, it's a very common virus among...
When was this transplant? What year?
This was back in 1990.
Yeah. See, I had a transplant in 1990, and they just started to get some antiviral medications to treat it. But previous to getting CMV, they didn't have one. You died.
Exactly.
It's not fun.
It's called CMV?
CMV.
Wow.
Cytomegalovirus.
Cytomegalovirus, which means big cell virus.
Oh, like the big guns.
The big guns.
It's different than CVS pharmacy.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Quite a bit different.
CMV.
You
are
living in
candy.
A pharmacy because you're taking you are sick.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
that's
very
awful.
Sick. And I had a fever of 106.5.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I laid on an ice blanket for weeks.
Oh, my God.
With that, yes.
Oh, wow. We have that in common.
We have that in common. We belong to that club.
I had a Slurpee one time. It was very cold.
Yeah, but they don't put it in your pants, which is where they put the ice.
Which, you know, might be a thrilling, actually, for me.
Try it. Very cool. That kidney lasted for 3 years. It got me to L.A. from the East Coast.
It got you to L.A.
Sort of a level of, I use the term loosely, stability. It got me out of here, got me set up with the folks here at Cedars. I got on that list, and do you know I got a call in 3 weeks that they had a kidney for me?
Holy moly!
It was one of those things.
Was it a perfect match? Perfect match. That's
yes.
What happens.
Out of Ohio.
Right.
Some poor guy.
So another thing we have in common,
yeah.
I got a perfect match too, but mine's from Denver.
But
we're
I got
perfect
that
matches.
Call.
Did you know that?
But that's amazing because you know what the wait list is now, the normal wait list? It's 5 to 7 years in Los Angeles.
But if it's a perfect match, it doesn't matter.
Wow.
The kidney will come from anywhere. I had a friend who got a transplant 1 year after she got on the list because a perfect match came forward.
In Los Angeles?
She actually lives in Florida.
Oh, wow.
It's a wonderful thing because they put that thing in. It's like going to get your car fixed and you're ready to go. I was out of the hospital in less than 4 days.
Wow.
I was at Pep Boys, speaking of getting your car fixed, that following weekend, sitting in the waiting room waiting for my car to get repaired.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Bob's career and have him do a couple of voices for us.
Sounds fun.
about your high school years, one of the strongest memories people have is their prom. It's their one night to shine, one night to dance the night away, one night to ride in a stretch limo, one night to feel like a star. This January 14th, the Renal Support Network will hold its 8th annual premier event, the Renal Teen Prom. This is the chance for teens to stop thinking about the needle sticks, the PD exchanges, and the constant meds they have to take. For one night, they celebrate their life with hundreds of other teen kidney patients, and the only prescription is, have the time of your life. So this January 14th, join us on the campus of prestigious Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California. The prom features live entertainment, a renal-friendly dinner, dancing, limo rides, glamour photos, and Hollywood celebrities. And get this, it's absolutely free. To receive an invitation or make a donation to an Evening Among the Stars Renal Teen Prom, visit rsnhope.org or call 818-543-0896. That's 818-543-0896. You've got the power to brighten someone's life. This is your chance to shine like the stars.
Dr. Mr. Shelton's in room 3.
Thank you. Mr. Shelton? Mr. Shelton!
Yes, doctor.
What seems to be the problem today?
I'm having a problem not being able to sleep.
Really?
I also find it difficult to breathe. Can we open a window or turn on a fan or something?
Certainly. Let me ask you, do you feel depressed?
No, I don't think so. But I do think my life is worthless, and I don't enjoy things I used to. And I feel like the whole world may blow up. But other than that, not really.
That's weird.
I also have a problem concentrating. Like the other day, do you know how they get those model ships in those bottles? Actually, I will have a cheeseburger. Of course I can do the Macarena. Oh, see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Mr. Shelton? Mr. Shelton!
Yes, doctor.
You obviously have low energy.
That's amazing. How did you know?
Mr. Shelton, I believe you're anemic.
Actually, I'm half Irish, but my dad knows someone in Armenia.
No, our anemic. We'll give you a simple blood test and we'll run your hematocrit. It needs to be at least 33%. We'll have you back to normal in no time. Some of the medications we can give you while you're doing your dialysis. Managing anemia results in a more active, happier, better quality of life, and studies show you may even live longer. Mr. Shelton? Mr. Shelton! Nurse, patient removal, room 3.
Yes, doctor.
The clerk who is thrown out of work by the boss, who is thrown for a loss by the skirt, who is doing him dirt. The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.
How long have you had this kidney?
This kidney I got in 94. I was here in L.A., exactly 1 year to the day, and I got this kidney.
You got a great part, right?
Oh, my God. This is the best part of my life.
Tell us about being, you know, an actor in Hollywood and trying the self-image thing you were telling me about. And what's that like, you know? And you're single, right?
Yes, I am.
And the dating scene with it. We did a whole show on dating.
It's tough. You know? It's very tough. When do you tell people? Mm-hmm. You got to tell people sooner or later. You don't want to lead with it. Hey, I've got some dead guy's kidney. You want to hang out?
It's a conversation buster, I would say.
You know, you can put this in very unappealing terms, but...
But being an actor, I know, is really a hard thing. I saw the interview with George Lopez.
Oh,
now, he
boy.
Was never on dialysis, but I think he said it so perfectly that he said, in Hollywood, there's a bunch of cans of peas on a shelf,
mm-hmm.
and one can's dented. Why would they hire the dented can?
Exactly.
When they can get a perfect can, you know? And that's such a perfect analogy to me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is. And it's interesting hearing that from him, who was a performer working on a show, an ongoing show,
right.
Yet he would actually go there. Now, if you don't have a series, if not too many people know who you are, think how you feel being that dented can.
Well, you know, I think just having a regular job and on a regular corporate track, you still feel the same way because you're always, everything's so competitive nowadays.
Absolutely.
If you're on a corporate career track and there's all these young execs that have the same, you know, opportunities you do and you have an illness, you always think, wow, you know, will they pick me for the promotion? Well,
you know, that's true. That is true. We've interviewed other people who are in jobs, and they said, I never told, you know, my boss about it. The guy from Utah, what was his name? He was a pep speaker.
Bill Dant.
Bill Dant was working in a corporate job, and he never told them because he didn't want to let them know that he was a kidney patient. So I guess it does have a correlation with, but I think show biz is even worse.
It's even worse because, first of all, you are judged on your appearance.
Right.
Not only in show business, but in the dating world, when you're meeting someone for the first time, things can happen to you. Things change. You're on medication.
You gain too much fluid and, you know, you go in and you look different from one day to the next.
My goodness.
Yeah, one day you look like Leonardo DiCaprio. The next day you look like Jerry Lewis.
Exactly. And you sound like him, too.
Very good.
Which isn't very appealing in many cases.
Well, I want to hear one of your famous voices.
Well, tell us what you're doing and then do the voice. What's some of the stuff you've done and what you're doing currently?
Well, the first big show I did in L.A., I got into this anime area, which is Japanese animation.
It's very popular, yeah.
Very popular. And I somehow fell in with the people at Saban Entertainment, and the company no longer exists.
Saban, didn't they do like Power Rangers?
Yes, they did. That put them on the map.
Yeah.
And
I always loved the Power Rangers. I always wanted to be the white Power Ranger.
You wanted to be the white Power Ranger.
You wanted to be the pink one, right?
I wanted to be the red one.
The red one.
Yeah.
Kind of like a kidney.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of a healthy kidney.
Yeah, healthy kidney.
All Steven sees is kidneys.
Yeah. And you should, you know? What do they call it? Psycho-cybernetics. Visualize.
I will become
positive thinking.
So tell us some more about your Saban experience.
So anyway, they had the series Digimon, which became very big for them. And I got one of the main characters. And I fell in with this higher voice that I somehow was able to do. One of the
kind of like me.
Exactly.
My natural voice.
But I always thought that was my natural voice. But I did this voice. Well, yes, Joe, they're right behind you. Run! You know,
wow.
This kind of thing.
That's amazing.
And I tell you, that voice and all its cousins, which I've done, including Flint the Time Detective, Petrofina, you're under arrest. So I've been called for this high voice over and over again.
He's the one getting my jobs then.
Oh, that's what it is.
Hey, I'm sorry, Stephen. I'll let you
You're
know
on Kidney
time.
Talk. He's out doing other things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you got to do what you got to do. This town is tough. No one said it was easy. And I'm very fortunate now to be doing a show called Animalia, which...
I love that book.
Oh,
such a great picture book.
It is a great book.
Yeah.
And the writing in it is fantastic, too. So the humor...
I never read the book, I just looked at the pictures.
Well, try reading it, because it's very short.
It's very difficult
for
me to read.
You know, three sentences a page. I think you can do that,
Steve. All right, I'll handle it.
I know
I'll do it on dialysis one day.
There you go, and you can show
3 hours.
The pictures, and then you can read the words. But anyway, it's very humorous, and this tone has been... brought into the show as best they could. That was the whole intent. And a great writer by the name of Tom Ruger, who I've always idolized, who was involved with the Animaniacs series. He was the head writer, producer over there, along with Steven Spielberg. So he's the main
creator. Who's that guy? The other guy? The second guy? He sounds
Spielberg.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Steven, yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, yes. The Steven part.
He's done a couple of movies, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
And anyway, he did this show with this guy that sounds familiar. And so now he's doing this. And all the writers from Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain are writing this show as well. So, man, it's like a who's who from the greatest of this animation phenomenon. So I'm doing this character. The main character I do, among others, in the show is called Iggy.
And what is Iggy?
He's an iguana.
He's an iguana.
Is
an iguana like a gecko, like the insurance gecko?
Very much, very much.
But he doesn't have
an
Australian
bigger,
accent.
Isn't he a
it's
little bigger?
Yeah,
yeah,
and
a
it's
bigger.
Got the bigger, and it's got these things on its back that stick up, and a little tiny purple warts. And he has this. I've had to say that in the show. Tiny purple warts. Not that easy to say, but anyway, I'm working on it.
What kind of character is he? Is he a mean character?
He's a main character, and he's comic relief, actually. And they seem to write to put all the tough words in. This guy has a Castilian accent. So he talks like this. He has the list, and he rolls his R's, and he says, just here, yes. You know, things like that. He sounds like a little bit like Charo.
Or a gay Antonio Banderas.
Exactly. Just like that.
Yes.
Yet not. And he's anything but, as you say, gay. He's very, very manly. He loves women. He's in love with this character named Zoe, and he's constantly trying to get her attention.
How does an iguana get somebody's attention?
He yells from across the room, "Hey, Zoe, I'm over here. Pay attention." Something like that.
Perfect.
You know. But I'm really enjoying that. I play a zebra named Zed, too. And actually sounds like a combination of Goofy and Yul Houser. Come on, Louie, can you get a shot of this? And he does a broadcast from a blimp in the air. In fact, he's in that book, in the blimp. Check the book.
Now, do people that you're working with on the voiceover, and do they know about your kidney disease?
No, I have not told them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to.
No.
But we'll broadcast this to them, and
yes,
they'll know
absolutely.
Immediately.
Now and the world will know. I mean, trying to...
You don't check to see if they have organ donor cards or anything, huh?
The words... Well, what are you going to do? But I don't consider myself a patient anymore so much because I've got this wonderful working kidney.
But the mantra here is a transplant is not a cure, it's a treatment.
Okay.
Yes.
You must be cognizant and thankful and aware at all times. Well, you try to put it out of your mind, put it in the back, and just participate in your life.
Exactly.
You know, the one thing I know even now, I spend a lot of time talking about kidney disease, but you're right. I don't want it to be the main focus of my life. You know,
it can't be.
And I don't know how you do it because I know Lori is just so active, but I think the main focus of Lori's life is patient advocacy, and I think having kidney disease is a secondary.
I'm not focusing on my own kidney disease. I'm focusing on helping other people.
And bless you, because patients need the likes of you. And I remember when I was on dialysis in the beginning, there was a patient advocate there, and she was really my friend. And
one friend makes a difference. That's another mantra here.
I remember once I wanted to do extra work in New York. I just wanted to do something to participate, you know. And I had to change my schedule. And there was this nurse, this little snippy nurse. I used to think she was cute until I realized how snippy.
Then she was Nurse Ratchet.
She was Nurse Ratchet. That little I wanted to. Anyway,
we got an anger management show later on too. Luckily, there was something like Renal Support Network. Oh. Which is a pamphlet somebody gave me, and I just happened to call, and I don't think I could have gotten through it without Renal Support Network.
You know, I know for myself, when you're really emotional, it's really hard to communicate what you need, and a lot of times you need that extra, or that other person to be able to help you to say, this is the next step that you need to do, because you have just a bunch of jumbled thoughts in your head.
Oh.
And you can't move.
It's like somebody backed up a dump truck and just dumped this stuff all over. You don't even know where to begin.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, just think of it this way. You know, somebody tells you you have to go on dialysis. You're totally devastated. What are you going to do? Call an 800 national number and get a secretary who doesn't, you know, have any knowledge about what it's like to be on dialysis?
Oh.
Or do you call something like Renal Support Network where everybody's a patient?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And they know.
This didn't exist when I was getting on dialysis.
No, not at all.
No, actually, Renal Support Network was created in 93, and it was a little tiny organization, but now we've grown, and we're all throughout, you know, the United States. And I know people listen to us throughout the world because we get emails asking to sign up for our newsletter and stuff from other countries.
I just want to say one thing, and I found this helpful to me. As this disease unfolded, like a piece of garbage that I picked out of the I decided to be as proactive as I could and go to the library and read whatever I could find. We didn't even have the internet
back
then.
We're so spoiled now.
Oh, boy. But I went to the library. I read about transplants. I read about dialysis. I read about the history of it all and got as much information as I could. And this was my my modus operandi as I went along, so I was as formed as I could be. So when I went into the doctor's office, I could speak with the doctor as not just a patient, but almost like a partner.
Right. Well, it is. You have to be a partner in your care, and you have to be able to be prepared. I mean, I think the biggest mistake that people make who have kidney disease is that they think that other people are going to solve your problems. And you need to take charge, ask questions, and be a partner in your healthcare team.
You start out as just another patient. But if they see you as a colleague because you're interested in what they're right. interested in, they begin to want to share with you, and they take a personal interest in you. Know your medications.
Right.
Listen to the way you feel. Write down what you're thinking and want to say to the doctor, so when you get in there, you just know exactly.
Right.
You know, because you're just one of 30 patients that guy's got to see in one day.
Right.
So you want to be right there and participate in your treatment. Learn about it. Be curious. Ask questions. Know how tissue typing works and mm-hmm. all this stuff, every step of the way.
All your lab works, everything.
Know what your meds are. So when you go into the hospital, you just don't take the green one and the blue one and the red one. Find out what these
what
pills are. When you get
it's
home,
a lot of green pills out
yeah,
there.
There are PDRs. You can go to a bookstore and look.
That's
these
a physician desk
up.
Reference. I know what a PDR is. Did you know that?
No, I was still concentrating on the red one, the green one, the blue one. I thought he was talking about M&Ms.
Well, I was, as a matter of fact. But meds too are very important. So be as involved as you can. You will go a lot farther, and you'll feel a lot more secure in where you are.
I do is I write down the questions because I'm afraid I'm going to forget. If I have four questions, I write them down so I don't forget.
Great idea.
You
got to do it.
You have to, because I don't know, sometimes when I'm sitting in front of the doctor, if I don't have that list in front of me, it's just like my brain falls out.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think. If you don't have a question right then and you don't have anything to say, there's no need to sit there and stare at each other.
Plus, there's an energy when that doctor walks into the room. You ever notice they sort of erupt into the room? You're sitting there, you're poking around that room, examining the room. You might have been smart enough to bring in a magazine. Or now you're opening drawers, you're looking at this.
I'm stealing gauze.
A tongue depressant? Ooh, Q-tips. Ooh, what are these things?
Yeah, I'm stealing gauze and tape.
Yeah.
That's what I'm stealing.
Exactly. So they got, suddenly this guy flies through. Oh, it was a doctor. This white coat erupts. And so, you know, you're taken aback a little bit, so your mind isn't exactly up to speed that second. Plus,
and
you've been stealing things,
on.
And you're trying to get them in your pocket so he doesn't notice.
And as soon as he walks in that room, that timer is on.
Exactly.
You know, he's got 2 minutes to deal with you and get to his next patient.
He's already heard about that next patient. He's got to put the chart in the door outside.
Yeah. Now, in closing, I want you to give your best kidney tip to fellow patients as the lizard.
Please, everybody, take care of your health. It's the most important thing you have. If it's not so good, do what you can to make it better. Listen to your doctor, be a partner, and really, when you get that kidney, love it like the life-giving thing that it is, because it changes my life. It has changed my life. It has made me, well, pee like I never peed before.
The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.
Hi, my name is Jenny Huey. There is a critical shortage of organs. 91,000 people are waiting for a transplant. I am one of those people waiting for a kidney, like many of you listening. I wait for my transplant coordinator to call me with the good news that they have a kidney for me. Other young women my age are waiting for that special someone who they met online at that dating website, Match.com, to call. And I'm waiting for the right cross match. It is important that we all inform our friends, family, and coworkers about the importance of becoming a donor and to make sure they sign a donor card. Also, they need to discuss this very important decision with their family. We all need to bring awareness to the public about the importance of giving the gift of life so I can continue on with my life, dialysis-free, and have guys waiting patiently by the phone for me.
Well, that was fascinating.
That was fun.
I want to go practice different voices. You know, I only have the witchy.
That's the only one you have. Exactly. You got to work on it. But you did a voice earlier good.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like, you know, I can sound like I'm 12. And this really is helpful when telemarketers call and ask if your mother's there. And I say no.
You know what I hate? Because I have a high voice, I'll call a store and I'll say, oh, do you have this item or something? They go, hold on, ma'am. I'll check for you. I get so pissed off at that. You know?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
But you know, he was talking about working with Spielberg and everything. I did a cartoon. You know, I did some cartoon voices.
What's some voices you can do?
You know, I really don't do voices. I just play myself because I have kind of like a natural cartoon voice. But I did Freakazoids, which was produced by Spielberg. And
What voice did you do?
Oh, it's kind of like just a higher pitch, you know, just a higher energy.
So you sound like a...
It's like this. To infinity and beyond, Buzz! You know, something. He kind of had a lisp, too, now that I think about it. And then I did... One of my favorites is I did Little Mermaid.
You were Little Mermaid?
No.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Here I go again. Thank you, ma'am. I'll look for you. No, I did a walrus named Dash.
Dash. And what did Dash sound like?
He sounded a little lumbering like this. And I'll be right there, Tip. You know, kind of like a mafioso
guy. I love Little Mermaid.
Oh, really?
I love that movie.
Yeah, I like doing Little Mermaid, too. But every time I left the studio, I kind of smelled like fish.
Oh, well, that's not a good thing.
No.
You don't want to stink.
No. Well, please. That's what everybody says. You stink. You know, we're not going to hire you again. No, but he was really fascinating, and it really is interesting to hear about what it's like in Hollywood being an actor and having kidney disease.
There are a few actors that have kidney disease that you and I know about yes.
that do not mention it.
Yes, no, it's something that is pretty common out there. I think people are afraid to say that they have kidney disease, and I even know that people who aren't in the acting world are afraid to tell that they have kidney disease. And as you mentioned in your opening statement, how much you felt a relief when you actually admitted you had kidney disease.
Absolutely.
So just think about how much, I mean, I think if people can't feel free to talk about their life, they carry shame. And shame is really difficult. And there's nothing to be ashamed about of having kidney disease. I mean, let's face it, life is full of different illnesses and we just got the kidney card.
Right, exactly. And, you know, every time you get a major part in a movie or a television show, the one thing you have to do is you have to get this, what they call a physical from the doctor. It's a joke because they just make sure you're breathing and that's it. But they do have a questionnaire and says, do you have kidney disease? And
They ask specifically about kidney disease. They don't ask about liver
disease, diabetes, everything. You just check it off. It's like 20.
So if you didn't tell the truth, do they check?
I don't know. I haven't gotten a major job since I've had kidney disease or one that they cared about. But I did, you know, I wouldn't tell them I had diabetes for many times. You know?
Well, Halle Berry has diabetes.
Yeah, but is that a secret?
No.
Oh.
That's not a secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty common knowledge.
And you know what else I found out about her? She's black.
We can control our own destiny.
We can take charge of our health and ask questions about our medical options.
We can form partnerships with our healthcare team.
We can take steps towards self-improvement.
We can be sensitive to the impact of our disease on our family.
We can sing, dance, laugh, and enjoy our lives.
We can appreciate today and look forward to tomorrow.
We can help and support our fellow patients.
We can pursue our hopes and dreams.
We can make a difference.
Renal Support Network would like to thank everyone who has made this show possible.
Kidney Talk's founding sponsor is Amgen.
Generous support is provided by Roche Pharmaceuticals and Astellas.
Friends of Kidney Talk are Abbott Laboratories, American Regent, and Fresenius Medical Care North America.
Thank you for helping us stream health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community.
Visit rsnhope.org for more information.
The opinions, recommendations, statements, and advice contained on Kidney Talk are for information only. You should not use the information on the show to diagnose or treat a health problem or disease without first consulting with a qualified healthcare provider. Please consult with your healthcare provider about any questions or concerns you may have regarding your condition or dietary regimen.